Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip, and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Morning, church. We are in the middle of a series about Proverbs, ancient wisdom ancient wisdom for modern living. And if, like me, you were raised in a church household where your parents said, do you realize that there are 30 Proverbs, which means that there's one chapter for every day of the month, then you may have been cycling through the book of Proverbs at quite a rate since you were a small child. And I have found this series to be so informative and so helpful. And actually, just to commend to the family and friends that are here today for the dedication, you know, last Sunday morning, David preached an awesome sermon about raising great kids. And as somebody who doesn't have kids but is a godmum and is an auntie, it was full of practical punch. And this week I have spent time with my goddaughter, and some of that has come straight back, particularly around, you know, undermining parents by saying, oh, it's fine. That was a word straight to me, and I've actually apologized to the families that I engage with if I've ever done that. So today we are looking at friends and friendship. And I've always been told that it is brilliant to speak out of areas where you yourself are struggling. And so I come in the greatest humility this morning and say, everything I'm saying this morning is also directly speaking to me. When I was putting some of this together, I'd been listening recently to some teaching on friendship, and actually I've just drawn that straight in. So some of this is not original at all, but I hope that it will impact you as much as it has impacted me. Proverbs 17:17. We're going to dip around today from Proverbs and also a couple from the New Testament. So if you'd like a Bible, chuck your hand up and the hospitality team have a whole stash here. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. God wants us to build deep, good, healthy, revitalizing friendships. And in the current age, in our age, of course, social media is the in thing. Social media tells me that I have, I think at the last count, 658 friends. I know, it's great to feel so popular. The only problem is, majority of those I don't think I've seen in the last 5 years. But social media feeds us this lie, and I'm not digging social media, I'm just saying let's get it where, you know, it should be in our lives. Social media friends are not always your friends. They are not good, deep, meaningful relationships. They are simply a person who is engaging with you with a like. And again, in London, in our city life, you know, often people who move into London, this was certainly my own story, are moving into London for a season that is to build their career or is to build their family. And if you're building your career, then maybe you're working long hours, back-to-back shifts, just to make ends meet or to get that promotion that you've always wanted. If you're building a family, I know you are the most tired people on the planet. I know that. And often what suffers is our friendships. Often what suffers when we say, I'm really sorry, I'm too busy for that, what suffers is our friendships. Family comes first, then our jobs, then our church. Whatever your commitments are, often what will suffer is our friendships. So if you are one of the people that, like me, sadly, ashamedly, sometimes finds myself saying, I do not have time for ex-friend or wife-friend, I do not have time to accept that invitation or to make the effort to come and see you, then I want to remind you of 5 reasons this morning of why God says that we need healthy friendships. Now, I'm just going to rattle through these 5, and then we're just going to go on to another couple of practical tips. But the first reason why I think God asks us to have deep, good friendships is, number 1, spiritual growth. If you are a God-fearer, if you are somebody who is passionate about loving the Lord, then I think you need to have good friendships because of spiritual growth. Dipping to the New Testament, Romans 1 verse 11 says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. What an incredible verse, and yes, I know it's not from Proverbs, but what an incredible verse. You and I will meet as friends, and we will be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. This is a tough world to live in. I work in the prison service. I work with some of the worst men that society would say that we have in our community, and it is tough to live out my faith in an environment where my colleagues have completely different standards of living. And I love them dearly, but what I really need is somebody that I can kind of be mutually encouraged with for faith. You must have friends in your life, I would argue, to become like Christ. Christian friends that you can be challenged up against to become like Christ. And I also think that if you want to become all that God plans for you, you need friends. One of the stories I've been reading recently, again, is the story in the Bible of Prince Jonathan. I do love the royal family, and that doesn't change whether they're biblical royal family or our current own little Prince George. But Prince Jonathan was a best friend of David, and one of the things that he did was he, when all the Israelites were hiding away in fear, he got his armor bearer and said, come on, let's go into battle. Let's climb up that hill, and if the Lord is for us or against us, you know, let's go up and try and slaughter some of the enemy. Anyway, that's a long story. But the bit that touched me was that as the people who were hiding in the caves thought, where's Jonathan? Oh my goodness, he's up there slaughtering the enemy. Their courage was raised. Their courage was roused. And they went forth and they joined the battle. From a place of fear, they found their courage. And you know, I've got this on my wall at work, just a scrappy note that says, hashtag, I want to hear rumors of your courage. When we hear rumors of each other's courage, we move forward. So the first one is spiritual growth. The second thing is emotional support. Life is a journey, and we need companions on the journey. And as somebody who tries to move a mile a minute, and as somebody who is single, no children, no partner, it is too easy sometimes to go back to my house and just think, I can handle this on my own. And I'm so grateful that some of you keep me to task on that. But it is my natural default position to do life alone and to be independent. And the truth is that we need deep, good, right, meaningful relationships in our friendships. And I find it quite helpful to look at this image of a slide when I'm considering my friendships. And with the default position is kind of the zero in the middle of the slide there. And in your life, you will have kind of people that feed into you that you would describe as positive friendships, positive relationships. And they might be plus one friends, they might be plus two friends. Kind of, you know, when you spend time with them, you find that they are kind of feeding into your life. And then the opposite, you know, minus one, minus two, you know, people that kind of drain you. And I've put some words up on there that, you know, one of them is dependence. So you could have kind of on the negative side, people that are dependent of you. And they, you know, an alternative word might be drain. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can't all have friends all the time that we just feel mutually kind of engaged with. That's how cliques form. But you will have some people that naturally drain you, where you are almost a stronger element, or on a seesaw kind of comparison, you are the heavier person, and you are being kind of drained as you give out and give out and give out and give out at a pace that you are not receiving back. The opposite end is that type of, you know, friendship where you sit around the campfire, maybe with a whiskey if you're you know, an appropriate drinker, and you just tell stories and you laugh and you have fun, and you know, you go away feeling full up again. And I would challenge you and say, this is not about saying you need to ditch those people that are draining you, but when you have those relationships that you were giving out quite a lot, that you also make sure that you have people in your life that are feeding into you. You know, you can probably think of people right now that are both of those examples into your life. I can. But here is some truth. 58 times in the Bible, we stumble upon the phrase, one another. One another. Greet one another. Love one another. Serve one another. One another. Each other. And if you're trying to do life alone all the time, instead of investing into friendships, then you can't actually fulfill 58 of the commands of Jesus. 58 times he says, love one another, or greet one another, or serve one another. So the third thing then, spiritual growth, emotional support, the next thing, the next reason to have good friendships is it gives us better health. And both in the Bible and in science, it is proven that you'll live longer and healthier if you have strong friendships. Did you know that? I had my sister works for the Natural History Museum, and she is always intrigued and kind of wrestles with and is astonished by people's view from these, you know, very eloquent and powerful scientists who've spent their whole life finding these astonishing things. And she's always intrigued by the fact that they assume that the Bible is not compatible with science. And that's, you know, been a wrestle in her own life, that she's had to really sort of think through, well, what do I believe individually? And what do I do when it looks like science is at odds with the Bible? And that's very much her testimony at the moment. But I was speaking to a young friend of mine who's about 8 years old just a couple of months ago. And we were in the car, and I said to her, what would you like to be when you grow up? And she said, well, I'd actually really like to be a scientist. But I don't think I can do that because I'm a Christian. And it was my absolute joy to be able to say, what? No. You can be whatever God has put in your heart to be, and God made the world, and God loves scientists, and maybe he's placed in you the ability to find, you know, whatever it is that we're looking for on Mars. You know, maybe that is you. And she took that away, and I don't know where she's at with that at the moment, but that was a key conversation. You know, the other thing about health is that one of those reasons comes out in James chapter 5. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, having good friendships gives us a chance to unload. And something about confessing to each other allows us to heal. And you know, I confess to God quite a lot. But that's almost easy to do because I can't physically see him in front of me. And I know that he's the all-loving, all-forgiving God. And sometimes it can become that sort of blasé. I've done this terrible thing, or I've thought this terrible thing, and oh, well, sorry, God. Thanks, God. You're a pal for forgiving me again. But there's something so deep about having to look into the whites of the eyes of a friend and say, I have screwed up in a way you would not believe. And if you were standing or sitting here today thinking, but you don't know what I've done, and that thought that I keep falling back into, that fantasy that I keep thinking over and over again, I couldn't possibly tell a friend. I couldn't possibly tell a friend and keep the friend. Well, then there's hope. Because Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. All times. All times. And just let me tell you that when I have managed to brave it up and say to a friend in a confidential place, I've screwed up and there's something I need to confess, invariably, after they've listened to me, they almost every time have something similar that they want to confess back. And you know, on the times when I haven't braved it and they've been the one to go first, invariably, vice versa, I've been able to say, actually, that's an issue in my life too. And we've breathed a huge sigh of relief as we've then been able to pray for each other and then walk forward and keep each other accountable. I urge you to think about the friends in your life and think about if you have anybody that you can have that depth of relationship with. The fourth reason we need good friendships in our life is social enjoyment. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And yet, I wonder how many of us sitting here today have been just this week thinking, God, just get me to Friday. I have. You know, I send out the newsletter on a Friday, and usually I start it with, hooray, it's Friday. And actually, I've challenged myself recently of, why do I do that? You know, I should not be wasting and whiling my life away thinking, thank God it's Friday. If I'm always looking forward to Friday, something in my life is wrong. Either my job isn't the right job, I'm not in a friendship group that sustains me, or I'm not linked in with the church family in a way that I should be. All the money, all the pleasure, all fine. But if our relationships are in disrepair, then our life is in disrepair. Nothing can compensate for good friendships. Nothing. Good friendships mean that when we're grieving and we're in sorrows, they are cut in half because a burden is shared. Good friendships mean that when there's joy in somebody's life, we can share the joy with them. Good friendships. And then the fifth thing is to reach my goals. I need good friendships in my life to reach my goals. You need good friendships in your life if you want to reach your goals. You won't fulfill your goals by yourself. You won't. And if you are, then your goals are just too small. Your goals are too small. You need to be in a team to fulfill the dream, is the old adage. But it's true. And I am constantly having to challenge myself that anything great cannot be done with one person. That I need to sometimes slow down and go with my friends and go with my team in order to be able to achieve what I'm hoping to achieve. And the Bible says two are better than one. Two are better than one. And we often bring that out at a marriage. But I'm not married. And I love that verse. Because two are better than one. And for me, that's in a 2-4 group, or it's with kind of a triangle of women that I try and meet with who are also leaders outside of, you know, my prison service setting. And we keep each other accountable. So that's a 5 reasons, and those aren't originals. I've taken those from some of the teaching that Rick Warren has done. But the next bit I want to do is just talk you through a couple of practical tips, and then we're going to be able to stand together later and just kind of recommit ourselves as friends. How do we make friends like this? Well, there's one tip that I just want to take from the New Testament, and it comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do to others what you would have them do to you or for you. That's it, friends. That is it. It's that simple. If you are sitting here feeling lonely today and feeling that you don't have this deep friendship that I'm kind of putting out there as a vision to you, then simply do to others what you would have them do for you. What does this look like on a Monday morning? Well, if it's a simple blueprint for us finding and keeping and sustaining long, deep, meaningful friendships, then it means maybe give to somebody what you would love them to give to you. Somebody once gave me their beat-up old car, and it was such a blessing. You know, and I've never yet been able to give somebody a car back, but it's always sort of there in my mind to do one day. You know, give to somebody what you'd like to receive. My mum always taught us, don't just think of something to do. When you think of something good, do it. Do it. If you think, oh, that person probably would love to receive a bunch of flowers today through the post, then get on whichever flower company you use and buy them some flowers. Maybe it means treat others as you would like to be treated. Be the friend that to others that you want, because what I have found is that in life and in groups and in friendships, we tend to attract what we are, not what we want. So that means that if you are loving and generous, you will attract people who are loving and generous. If you are bitter, you will attract people who are bitter and complain all the time. If you are a gossip, you will attract people who are gossiping. If you are loyal, you will attract loyalty. If you are shallow, you will attract people who are shallow. So do you see what I'm getting at? If you want deep, meaningful, loving friendships in your life, you need to start being that friend to others. And two books that aren't explicitly on friendship but have really guided my life as being a friend, one is called Open Heart, Open Home. And this is actually a book about hospitality, and it was an old book that my mum had on her shelf when I was a kid, and she used to try and practice by it, and I was delighted to see that they've just reissued it with an updated version. And you know, one of the things that this says in here about hospitality and opening your home is that when people decline invitations, sometimes it is because they feel threatened, or when people don't give out invitations, it's exactly the same. That, you know, I might not invite you around to my house for lunch because actually my crockery is all broken and all different at the moment. And I've run out of glasses and I haven't got enough chairs for everybody to sit on. My other thing is I think, well, I'm not confident in cooking a Sunday roast. And so if I invite you on a Sunday, you might be expecting a Sunday roast. And this book just kills that myth. And it says, you know, tell people, do you want to come round for a jacket potato with some chili con carne on it? Do you want to come round for beans on toast and see what happens? And most of the time, people will bite your hand off and say, I would love to come round for beans on toast. Don't set the bar high in your own mind so that you actually never start to open up your own home. The other book is The Art of Neighboring. And this came from a speaker at New Wine a couple of years ago called Jay Pathak. You can actually get it on an audio CD. So if, like me, you have a long morning commute, you can be feeding yourself with the word and feeding yourself with good teaching while you're safely driving with your eyes on the road. And what this book taught me is that when you are giving out as a friend or as a neighbor in that context, and you're inviting your neighbors over or you're inviting the guys over for a beer while you, you know, mow the lawn or build whatever shed, you know, actually you need to take space in your life to also receive that invitation back. Now, I know I'm bad at this. I know it because there's somebody who's been trying to get me around to their house for dinner for months and months, and I've still not managed to get a date to say yes. You know, we need to make time in our lives to say, come to mine, and then also, I would love to come to yours. Just some practical tips. So how can you make friends? Number one, invest the time. That's what I've just been saying. Proverbs 18:24 from the New King James Version, which I just loved this translation, says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. A man who has friends must already be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, our friendships, they're going to take time. We're going to have to invest time. They're not incidental. They're not accidental. You have to invest time by choice. You have to invest effort. No friendship is going to flourish unless you just start showing up into those people's lives. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Stop waiting for people to be your friend and start being friendly. Start being friendly to each other. Friends show up whether you need them to or not. If somebody only shows up in your life when they need something, they are not a friend. They are an acquaintance that you like. But a friend shows up in good times and in bad times. And the best place that I can say to you to start making friends is within this church, within this community, within this family. And yet I know, because I've felt it sometimes, that I can walk in that door, I can lead worship, I can tune up my guitar, I can put my guitar away, I can be out like a shot without really speaking meaningfully to anybody. And I would challenge you and urge you to find friends from within this congregation, the 930 congregation, or within the wider church, so that whatever other friends you have outside in your secular lives, you know, there actually is no difference between secular and holy, I don't think, when it comes to friendships. Except that when you are friends with people of God, they are also trying to steer you and encourage you and hold you to account in a way that sometimes our friends outside don't. And the obvious place in church to make friends is to sign up today to join a team, or sign up today to join a missional community. You know, when I arrived in this church, I've told this story before from this stand, the way that I got to know people was by joining the choir. And we have a glorious choir here. We have the N12 community choir. And I joined the Christmas choir, and the two people, I sat next to Bridget, and she made me laugh and I got into trouble most of the time. But, you know, actually, I count Bridget a friend. And you know, that was my first in, and I decided to stay. And now, you know, in our missional community, we are really starting to explore this, about what does it look like to have solid friendships. And then just the last thing I want to just take us to is that, you know, to make good friends, I think we need to be earning their trust. And without going into the depth of that, you know, I think there's three things. It's about being reliable, it's about being loyal, and it's about keeping confidences. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves all the time. The Message version says, friends love through all kinds of weather. Friends love you when you have a tire that needs fixing. You know, they turn up when something, you know, needs to be taken to the tip and your car's not big enough. They turn up when you're sick. They bring you flowers or they hoover your house for you. And they also celebrate. And it doesn't have to be things in my own life that I'm celebrating, you know, because that's what makes us insular. I need to be able to celebrate when somebody else gets married. I need to be able to celebrate when somebody else has a baby. You know, whatever the things are in your life that you could be tempted to look at those people and think, well, I haven't got that. But as friends, we celebrate with each other and we also mourn and weep with each other. And that, just to tie it all up, that means we bring out the best in each other. You know, God has designed our friendships to mean that sometimes we cannot be the best person and the best version of ourselves without somebody that he has put in our lives as a friend. And I've just put up three proverbs up there. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. What does that mean? That means that we speak into each other's lives on issues and topics. I love that we are the type of church that has a roadshow where we're going to be discussing pornography and discussing the pitfalls that sometimes come with things our society says are not damaging. An honest answer is a sign of a true friend. An honest answer. I need to be able to say to my good friends, and you don't need 658 friends, you probably need three. Three good friends who will give you the honest answer. Should I go for this job? Well, let's just talk about that. Can you do this? What's God been saying? How about this? In an honest answer. And then a truly good friend will openly correct you. This, and we're finished here, this is the final thing that I want you to take away. And this has been something that I've been so privileged to have just one or two people in my life who will say to me, right, where's the boundaries for us? Where do we have permission to share into each other's lives? And for me, that was saying to them things like, right, well, I want to be held to account about, you know, socializing and drinking and, you know, maybe, you know, spending too much time out and about and not looking after myself well. Another one might be, you know, actually, I never want to, and this is a personal thing, and you know, I'm just sharing from my own walk. I'm not saying this is for everybody necessarily. But for me, I made a commitment long time ago that I would not date somebody who was not already well established in their walk with Christ. And that means, therefore, that I won't marry somebody who is not established with their role in Christ. And I have given friends and my sister permission to speak into my life in the way that means that if they catch me going down a path I shouldn't be going down, then, you know, they need to speak to me about that. And then they have invited me to speak into their lives the same thing. And I wonder if you have friends in your life that will do that. I wonder if you will have friends in your life that will do that. So let's just stand together. All of this can be summed up with a verse from Matthew chapter 22 that says, love your neighbor as yourself. And this has been a whistle-stop tour of friendship this morning. And you know, friendships don't go that quick. They aren't grown that quickly. They are grown over weeks and months and years. And I just want to pray for you now and pray for me now that God will place in our hearts one name or a couple of names where he is longing to see deep friendships grown. Holy Spirit, would you come now and speak into our lives? Would you help us to be friendly? Would you help us to be the friend that you created us to be in our friendships? And maybe, Lord, would you show us where some friendships need to be let go so that we can fill that depth of friendship with fewer people. Lord, help us to open our homes. Help us to open our lives to each other. Allow us to be accountable to each other. And God, where there's fear or there's rejection or there's anger or betrayal, we just break those off in the name of Jesus and in the power of Jesus. You are set free. That's what his word promises. And if you've made a decision today that you want to make friends, then there's two simple ways that I said. You can sign up to join a 2-4 or a missional community group, and you can sign up to serve on team, and all of that is on your Connect form. But you know, I'll be around at the end. Come and chat with me. Come and chat with anybody who's got a badge on, and we'll steer you in the right direction. Father, we love you. We thank you that you taught us how to love.